Praise God. Respected clergy and fellow believers in Christ, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I praise and thank God for allowing us to come together in His holy presence on this beautiful Sunday morning. My thanks to Joe Sachin and Rena for giving me this opportunity to share from the Word of God on this Women's World Day of Prayer. The World Day of Prayer is an ecumenical movement led by women in over 125 countries. The theme for this year's World Day of Prayer Taiwan is "I Have Heard About Your Faith." The Bible portion for World Day of Prayer is taken from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. With our announcements last week, we all received the short video from World Day of Prayer Taiwan Committee. Thank you, Tiffy, for sending that with the announcements. This morning, prior to our communion service, we observed the World Day of Prayer service focusing on the island country of Taiwan. Taiwan is a densely populated multi-ethnic country with an approximate 23.6 million people. The World Day of Prayer 2023 committee have asked us to come together and pray because of China's interference in and infringement of Taiwan's participation in international organizations. People suffer daily fear caused by military aircrafts coming from China into Taiwan's airspace. Christianity is a minority religion in Taiwan, and all religions coexist in harmony. People are expected to treat one another with respect and dignity. People in Taiwan greet each other saying "Ping An." This phrase in Taiwanese means, "May God grant you peace, a peaceful relationship with God and with one another." They bow their head and look at the other person's eyes and say "Ping An." As we celebrate World Day of Prayer Taiwan, let's do that. Turn to your right, bow your head, say "Ping An." Turn to your left, bow your head, say "Ping An." Thank you. The Bible portion for this World Day of Prayer is taken from Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 15 through 19. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength." Let's bow our heads and pray. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we come to you with thanksgiving, and we humble ourselves in thy presence. Lord, we commit everyone into thy loving hands, and we acknowledge your presence this very moment. Lord, we thank you for your presence guidance and protection every moment of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for every breath we take. Father, help us to be empowered by your wisdom. As we meditate on your words, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Saint Paul wrote this letter to the believers in Ephesus from Rome while he was in prison in AD 60 through 62. Paul begins the book by praising God for all his blessings and then for the church. From verse 3 through 14, Paul gives us a list of blessings that are ours in Christ. The summary of the blessings from verse 3 through 14 in one reading goes like this. He blessed us immensely. He chose us unconditionally. He adopted us adoringly. He redeemed us graciously. He forgave us completely. He showed us grace lavishly. He reveals his mystery wisely. He granted us inheritance eternally. He sealed us permanently, and he guaranteed our salvation personally. What beautiful blessings we have in Christ. Verse 15 and 16 is the purpose of Paul's prayer. Go back there with me again. It says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Prayer is how we connect with God. Paul begins by pointing out their faith in the Lord Jesus. Acts of the Apostles tells us more about Paul's knowledge of the faith of the Ephesians. We stand alone in our faith and place our trust and hope in God. Paul gave thanks to God when he heard the good news about Ephesians. Do we praise God when we hear good things? Our callings as Christians is to love God and praise God for all things. Now, we all have struggles and challenges in our lives. We are frustrated by difficulties and obstacles and may even lose our hope and faith and rely on our weak human nature. When we have the eyes of faith, we can see beyond our problems. We can see hope when there is despair. We can see opportunities when others see defeat. We can see God is building something beautiful from all the broken pieces. We can look at our lives through the eyes of faith and see that even when it isn't well with our circumstances, God makes it well with our souls. In verse 17 through 19, Paul describes the priority and petitions for which he is praying. Verse 17 goes like this. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. What should be the priority of our prayer? When Jesus taught us how to pray, the prayer starts with a praise to our Father, right? We pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praise should be the priority of our prayer. The prayer opens with an address to our Father. This address reaffirms our core belief that Christians as God, that God is our celestial Father, both with us in spirit and above us in the perfect realm of heaven. This opening address also unites us as one community of worshipers as we pray to the Father as our Father and not individually as my Father. Then we move on to the petitions. Thy will be done. Paul here has one petition. Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know God better. Paul prays for wisdom and revelation like King Solomon did in the Old Testament. That's what we need to pray for. To seek a spirit of wisdom and realize the power of our personal connection with God. What is wisdom? The Bible says all wisdom starts with reverencing God, seeing as God sees it, and following biblical principles, the discernment to know good and evil. James chapter 1 verse 5 tells us that if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Psalms 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we get right with God, everything else falls in place. One of the things that Christians struggle with the most is forgiveness. Making an intentional decision to let go of resentment and anger. It takes a strong person to say they are sorry, and an even stronger person to forgive. As we sit here in this sanctuary, let's take a moment to remember someone in our lives that we need to forgive. Someone that's been mean to us. Someone that has wronged us. Let's take a moment to silently pray for that person. Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Paul says to be heavenly minded for us to be earthly good. Paul's life is a life of prayer. He relies on God. We lie to God in prayer if we don't rely on him after prayer. Again, we lie to God in prayer when we don't rely on God after prayer. If we don't have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, we will not know God. In verse 18, he prays for hope and glorious inheritance. According to the Marthoma lectionary, the theme for today is Jesus Christ who leads to new vision. Nava darshanathilekku nayikkunna Yesu Christu. Easter points us beyond the tragedy of the cross to the hope of the empty tomb. Our spiritual eyes are often blinded by the things of the world, our ambitions, greed, our lust, etc. When we read Paul's prison prayers, he never asked for material things. We have a God that is generous with spiritual blessings. Place our hope in Jesus. St. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 says, ask and it shall be given unto you. God wants to bless you and me. We feel hopeless sometimes because we don't know what's going to happen next. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plan I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That's the promise that God gives, a plan for our lives, regardless of our current situation. We could get discouraged and depressed by our challenges and struggles. Our faith is tested by these struggles. No matter what trials, temptations, or pain we may suffer, we can always hold on to the hope that God extends to us. In the Old Testament, in the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 8, our Lord certifies that his servant Job is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Job lost everything in his life in one day. Job was a righteous man, but he suffered. No matter how obedient and faithful we are, we will experience suffering at some point in our life. My dear fellow believers, who do we turn to when we face difficulties? Why do we get depressed? Why are the rates of suicides going up in our communities? We may not always know the reason or purpose for our pains. What can give us comfort? It's God's promise to never abandon you and me. When our friends turn on us, when we can't talk to our parents, God will stay by your side. Lean on him. He'll help you through your loneliness and pain. God's grace is never ending. Your value doesn't decrease based on someone's inability to see your worth. I'm reminded of the work of a goldsmith. Goldsmith is a metal worker who specializes in working with gold and other precious metals. I remember watching them take the gold, put it in the fire pit, polishing and soldering that piece of metal to make it the perfect piece of jewelry. Like gold, our faith is tested by fire. We see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that we are to rejoice in our trials so that the tested genuineness of our faith may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul tells the Romans to rejoice in their sufferings. God wants to refine our faith. Just as gold is refined by fire that burns away impurities, suffering, and affliction refines our faith, which is far more precious than gold. Let's praise God when things are going good in our life. And when things don't go as we expect, we should still be able to do the same. Job 13, verse 15 says, "Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him." Thank you, Benji and the English choir, for all the songs of praise and hope that you sung today. Thank you. Paul goes on to talk about the riches of his glorious inheritance. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance? We usually think about inheritance in terms of our perspective. But in this portion, Paul tells us that God considers us to be his inheritance. It's not our position, education, power, or degree that God values. God finds me and you valuable. We are his treasure. We are his inheritance. God purchased us at the cross. In John chapter 17, we see that the Father has given us to the Son as love gifts. In the eyes of God, we are not pieces of confetti that go with the wind without a specific direction, but irreplaceable pieces of the puzzle. On the other hand, we also don't want to discount the fact that we have also obtained an inheritance. We are joint heirs with Christ. In this portion, Paul wants Ephesians to understand that God wants them. We are truly his treasured possession. In today's gospel, portion from Mark chapter 10, we heard the story of Bartimaeus, the blind man who cries out to Jesus. The great insight of a blind man. God wants us to trust him in everything. Obstacles will be put in our way. Be ready to cast them aside. The crowd is changeable. In the story of Bartimaeus, if it had been up to the crowd, Jesus would have walked past that blind man and everything would have remained the same. But when Jesus stopped to speak with the blind man, what happened? The crowd's response changed. They started to cheer him. Do we know what to say when God stops to ask us what we need? God's power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority. The power of God is immense, limitless, and measureless. If we are in a situation today where we need the power of God, Bible says to believe. On this World Day of Prayer, let's make a seamless connection between what might seem to be very ordinary things of God's kingdom, faith and love, and quiet extraordinary things, hope, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and the immeasurable greatness of God's power. In today's passage, we see God's wonderful blessings for all of us. He blessed us by choosing us, predestined us as sons and daughters, redeeming us from our sins, forgiving us from that sin, and giving us hope in the heavenly realm. Let's thank God for his grace and rejoice in the knowledge of our salvation in Jesus. May God open our hearts to accept his word and be a blessing in our generation. Thank you again to Joe Sachin and Rina for this opportunity. And may God bless us all. Thank you.